The Mixed Bag on the After Reality Podcast Network.
He is not Will Simmons, but I am Spencer Kitley, and this is After Reality. It's the Mixed Bag. We're back after a bit of a break. Sorry we missed you, but I'm excited to be back. Season premiere of Survivor, talking about it here on the Mixed Bag. And you know, if we're talking about Survivor, and we know that Will's not here, it can only mean one thing. It's friend of the pod, former Survivor producer, and my old buddy Kenneth Browder is here. Kenny, what's up?
What's going on?
Just living the dream. Reality TV has slowed down a little bit. Wrapped up Bachelor in Paradise last week. Wrapped up Big Brother this week. Working on putting together a special pod, kind of a summer recap. So listeners, stay tuned for that. I know we're a little late on Paradise, but we've been doing it all season. Want to circle back there, but. Are you watching any other reality shows by chance? I know you're a Survivor guy, but
No. I mean, let me think. Not a lot. I don't get a lot. I mean, does football count and soccer?
I watched a little Hard Knocks this year. I never really watched Hard Knocks. I watched some Hard Knocks this year.
Oh yeah, that counts. I watched Hard Knocks mostly because I think that's. I just love the way that show. When I worked in television, I was always one of the shows that I wanted to get on.
Yeah,
and I got close one time, but then it just didn't work out from a timing perspective. I had a show that was much longer run, so there was no Hard Knocks for me, and then it just never worked out because my career kind of ended shortly after that.
And if listeners are hearing you for the first time, you worked on four seasons of Survivor, San Juan del Sur, Worlds Apart, Cambodia and Khao Rong. Does that sound accurate?
That sounds accurate. They start to blur together. I just had my, you know how Facebook does that thing where it just pops up, you know, remember this time? Like 5 years ago on the premiere of this season was the first time I saw my name on the credits for Survivor.
Oh.
That was kind of cool. I was like, oh, my 5-year anniversary from, like, so much has changed since then.
Yeah. Gosh, kind of a lot's changed.
Yeah, it's like 5 years. I got a kid now. Yeah. I bought two houses. I've moved halfway across the country. I don't work in television anymore. Yeah. It's just, you know, life comes at you fast, as they say.
Yeah, you never had a Boston Rob or Sandra season. You did have Longlocks Joe on a couple of seasons.
I did see Joe a couple times. He's just as dreamy in person as he is on TV, people.
Like, could I touch the hair?
To be quite honest with you, that hair, it stank.
Oh, I'm sure.
They all stank. I mean, it looks good on TV.
Oh, I'm sure they mostly kind of smell like the people that you smell unshowered on the street at times.
Yeah, pretty much.
Although they do have access to the ocean, so maybe that helps a bit.
It helps a little bit, but there's a reason why producers walk around with tea tree oil toothpicks in their mouths, because
walk around with some Vicks Vapor Rub and just rub it on your upper lip.
Yeah, you can just like have it there, and next thing you know, if they're a little rank, you just, you know, whiff it across your nose real quick, and then you're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Oh man. Well, before we get into Survivor, I really enjoyed this premiere episode of Island of the Idols. But before we do that, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Also, a reminder, subscribe wherever you download your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, or Stitcher. Leave us a review. We like that as well. Also, don't forget to check out our website at afterrealitypodcast.com. So, Island of the Idols is our new season. We had been teased this at the end of last season. We've had previews and trailers, but didn't really know what it was going to be, what the mentor program was going to be, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But just off the top, first thoughts of this premiere episode.
Off the top, it was really good. It was entertained. I was entertained. And I will say, I had to get into the show kind of late last night. And generally, my wife can't stay up late at all. And she was entertained the whole time. Didn't fall asleep. We stayed up and watched Survivor pretty late in the Browder household. I liked the cast. I think it's a good collection of people, ages and different walks of life. I think that there's some unique characters, some strong women, which I'm always a big fan of strong women on the show, because I think it helps the show out. And as I was mentioning to you, man, this was the best premiere for people who are quote unquote old ever in the Age of Survivor. They walked in, they were the badasses.
Crushed
right?
It.
Okay, I've never been more amazed than watching Janet make fire with just straight up bamboo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, let's see Boston Rob do it with just bamboo.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you got Flint, Boston Rob. And the thing is, I was mad that Jeff didn't go to her when she was talking about, he's like, oh, you win Flint too. And she's just like,
he's like, I don't need that.
I don't need that.
You got any food back there? I'll trade you this for some food.
What you got back there? You got a burger or anything? But I was hoping Jeff picked on her up on her, shrugging her shoulders like, who cares about your Flint? But no, I thought it was a great episode. It's a great way to start. I think it looked amazing. I love the way the idol, the immunity idol looked. I thought the challenge looked great. The where they have their mentorship on the Island of Idols, that's top notch. The art department, they outdid themselves, I think, so far.
What are those massive busts on the Island of Idols? What do you think those are made out of? Are they wood? Fiberglass?
No,
they're not rock. I know that.
Yeah, they're definitely not rock.
Someone's out there for doing that, months, for chiseling their face. Leave them out there for eons and people to think that these were like gods in the Fijian islands.
I know, like, what happens with those after the fact? Because I think it'd be great if they just left them there. And then, you know, when we're all dead and in the ground for forever, some people are going to roll up and be like,
who's this guy with a Boston Red Sox hat on?
The story is that they were married and, you know, they, they're going to be fertility gods or something. Yeah. It's going to be something crazy. But no, I think that's probably maybe it's not bamboo. It's some type of wood, I would say, but who knows?
Yeah. Also noticed an overhead shot that showed at Tribal, and seemingly a lot bigger setup, a lot more thatched huts than I would typically assume there were. There's probably a dozen of them and scattered over a pretty decent sized area as well.
Yeah, what I think I'll probably be watching over the course of the year, just as the season unfolds, is this is, you know, they're in the Fiji now, right? As a production, they've been in Fiji for a while. So I think that if memory serves me correct, and thinking of how impressive the art department is on that show, and the talent that they get into the group to produce those types of things, they probably are trying a lot of cool, different things this season just to kind of switch it up.
Yeah, well, and they next season, they got to go really big. We got season 40, and it's all champs.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's like, yeah, and they're probably trying a bunch of stuff now that they're, like, really going to be priming for, like, these next two seasons from a look and a, you know, from a gamesmanship and, you know, twist and all that stuff. It's going to be awesome because, you know.
Because they're going to have to twist it with all the although I love it if they didn't twist it at all with the champs.
Just straight old school.
Just straight old school. No food either, just rice.
Yeah. Like season one or two.
Yeah. So, and next season is the final one on the contract for Fiji. That doesn't mean they won't renew the contract. I would fully expect them to.
I mean, if Fiji wants that commercial, and it's cheaper, you know, paying Survivor their whatever fee for being in Fiji from the tourism
department of tourism. Yeah.
Yeah, it's way cheaper than buying actual airtime. So it would make sense. And I think Fiji allows you to do a lot. I mean, it's mostly going to be water seasons, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, it's been forever since there wasn't the ocean involved on this show in some in some way. But anyhow, let's jump into this. We arrived in a very different way this season, and it gets brought up later, but there's these kind of fancy speedboats drop off the two tribes at their respective beaches. There's no big pirate ship, and there's no marooning. And most importantly, there's no Jeffy P.
Yeah.
If I'm one of these people, and like it's been my dream to be on the show forever, I'm like, where the heck is Jeff Probst? Yeah. He needs to be here.
Like somewhere.
I feel like I'm getting cheated here.
I mean, and you could see it on their faces. They were not happy about that because when they saw him for the first time, I mean, the wide eyes, and you could just see them fanning out on the fact that Jeff Probst was standing in front of them. And that part of that's like they were out there for, 48 hours, almost, three, day two, into day two before they actually saw him.
I can't think of a reason why they would switch this. Would Jeff's flight not make it there and they needed to start filming?
No. I mean, nothing to do with it. I think it has everything to do with ramping up the whole idea of Island of the Idols, right? Make some more mystery. Kind of throw them off, like who? Because I mean, what if you're sitting there going, "We haven't met Jeff Probst. It's been 2 days. It's called Island of the Idols season, right?"
Are we just supposed to be looking for idols out
yeah,
here?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Right. What are we doing? Which is, who's the guy that made the first classic mistake of going to look for an idol like an idiot?
And Jason, but I didn't really think he was really looking for idols. He fished around for a second.
Yeah.
I think he was out looking for stuff in the same way that later in the episode, Tom and Elaine and Vince were accused of doing that as well. Let's talk about Tom, Elaine, and Vince. Let's talk about their tribe, Laro. They're the orange tribe. It's Tom, Elaine, and Vince. And then Aaron, who was kind of one of the ringleaders here. Chelsea, Dean, Elizabeth Beisel, who's the three-time Olympian, Karishma, and Ronnie, the pro poker player.
Yeah.
That came in really handy for him. No.
you know exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, you're a poker player? Like,
yeah, great poker face, bud.
Poker face was terrible. You got Elaine sniffed that shit out so fast.
You had aces up your sleeve. The eye in the sky said no. You're out of this casino. Anyway, so Laro gets they walk right in. They start working on their shelter. We learn early that Tom is a former NHL player.
Yeah,
and a older gentleman that's still a physical specimen. You mentioned before we came on. It's like one of those NuGenics ads.
Yeah, if he plays his card right, after this is over, he's going to be in a Frank Thomas commercial. Him and Frank Thomas can be hanging out somewhere,
just high-fiving.
High-fiving each other, looking at dudes who are under 40 with beer guts and low testosterone. Like, better get those dudes some NuGenics.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that I didn't do a little more research in Tom's NHL career, but I was familiar with Elizabeth Beisel. I'm a huge Olympics fan and watch a lot of swimming because the U.S. is good at swimming. But taking a look, though, at Tom Laidlaw, he's 61 years old. He's Canadian, as a lot of hockey players are. He played with the Rangers, played with the Kings, probably played with Mr. Gretzky.
He definitely played with Gretzky. He talked about it.
Yeah, so played pro career. 1980 to 1990, so a solid 10 years in the NHL. Doesn't look like he was an all-star or anything, but still, anytime you play 10 years in any professional sports league, you're legit. But Vince is on that tribe as well. I wasn't familiar with Hmong. Hmong nationality. I wasn't familiar with that, but he was proud of that, and he He's a skilled craftsman, knows how to use tools. He's Stanford educated. Yeah. He's going to be an interesting one to watch, I think.
I'm excited. So, you know, because I got the Vegas in me, I definitely looked up the odds. I do a little fantasy survivor. I got a couple of leagues, you know. Shout out to my team. You're my boy, Woo. I was really worried that I got Vince on my team to start. And then I saw him on TV, and I was like, you know what? He might be a dark horse.
Are there Vegas odds on Survivor?
There's one like goldderby.com is one website that does – they'll do odds. It's more like crowdsource odds. They'll start with like regular ones, but then
– I can't imagine it would be something that they would really put odds out there for, because theoretically you could find out somehow who won.
Oh, yeah. It's a – if it happened in real time, oh, definitely something they could do.
Yeah, like Big Brother, you could. Yeah. Big Brother is one of the few reality shows that you could have odds on.
Yeah.
Definitely not the Bachelor franchise or the Challenge or Survivor, where these things are filmed once in advance.
To Vegas odds, that sounds kind of crazy. I feel like that show should be all about gambling.
Yeah, when we'll play the fantasy for reality games at the office, and people are like, oh, well, we're going to play for money. I'm like, no, because you can cheat.
Yeah.
I'm not playing you for money when you can go find the answer to the questions.
Yeah, no, that's not the way to go. Yeah. Which everyone on my, when I'm in my black bod where I work, everyone's on, hey, have you talked to anybody from the season? Are you sure you're not plugged in? I'm like, look, let me tell you something. I'm friends with those people on like Instagram and Facebook. There's a couple that I worked on shows before that I'll talk to every now and again. But I know the game. I'm not going to try to make them violate some NDA so I can win a $10 office. It's not that serious, guys.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
Like, which is just a crisis.
You'd be better off going on Reddit or some forum or something to get your answer.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It makes no sense for me to do that. But yeah. People still worry about it, so... It is what it is.
Also on this tribe, we have Missy. She played basketball at the Air Force Academy. Her career ended by a brain tumor. She seems like she's going to be a player. And then, as we mentioned, Vince, Elaine, and Tom already looking kind of tight. But meanwhile, maybe there's another group of seven against them.
Yeah.
Very quickly, like, both on the... on the tribe, but also to the viewer, Elaine is very likable. Mm-hmm. She's playing a big role. She's making jokes. She's talking about her body having a lot of insulation, and she's living off of reserves.
She's good. I like her. She's going to be a welcome addition to the cast. The only thing I worry about is that she's so likable so fast out of the gate that she's pretty much a walking target right now.
Yeah, but it's good. It's nice to have likable people around for a while. It's not like she's like going to crush every comp.
Oh, yeah. Not every comp. But then, you know, there will come a time where, you know, as good as she is now, I just don't foresee her being able to maintain it that long ago.
Yeah.
Like that long.
She can make it to the merge.
Yeah. Oh, she'll definitely make it to the merge. Her work ethic and her everyone likes her will get her to the merge.
And actually, she's a bigger woman, but watching her in the comps, she moves really well.
Yeah, she can move.
She was moving really well. Very agile. So props to her and her comments about being able to see Dean's spine already. And he's withering away over there.
Yeah, she is she's funny. Yeah, she's definitely funny.
Yeah. Ronnie was just there trying to read everyone's, because he's a poker player, you know? Did he do a good job reading them? I don't know. So read his way right off the show.
He came off as a pretentious, just him and Aaron. I'm just like, you guys think you know.
Can't play too hard, too fast.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
that's like the death nail on this game.
It's like you would think that they wouldn't. The thing is, like, we're at the point now, you think that people wouldn't make simple mistakes, but then you realize that it's Survivor and you can think about a good game all you want, but the minute you get out there, everything goes out the window because you know, the euphoria of being where you are.
I feel like you just need to have conversations with yourself all the time and be like,
oh yeah,
all right, be like, I'm gonna do, wait, no, that.
And basically, like, you'd be like, yourself, tell me, like,
no,
that.
That's not what we agreed on doing. We didn't agree on that.
You have to just over and over tell yourself no, right? There's the level of discipline, and you know, you have to be disciplined to play Survivor. And
I know you want to try to lead, but don't lead.
I want to show that I'm, you know, it's like, which I think is, you know, when we get to Janet, I think she did a good job of like doing just enough, but not enough. She showed her value.
Let's talk about Janet. She's on the Vokai tribe. Jack, Janet, Jason, who was the one that got into trouble for sneaking off, Tommy, Jamal, Dan, Lauren, Kelly, Nora, and Molly, which I don't remember a lot about a lot of those guys. I remember Jamal's a fourth grade teacher. I remember Jason was the guy that snuck off. And then Jack, I think, is the redheaded guy who was a beast in the comp, and we'll talk about him. But let's talk about Janet.
Do it. Janet's the most impressive person I've seen.
She's an older lady. She's a chief lifeguard. I didn't catch where, but she's already looking to prove her worth and show, hey, I'm not an easy out. And she proves it. She's there making fire. Boom. Crushes it.
Right off the bat, you know, she's okay. Have we ever seen anybody on Survivor make fire without flint and just bamboo? And
like hours of trying, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's them,
and they end up
with blisters on their hands trying to get a little smoke.
Yeah, I doubt it was the edit because it didn't look like they had to cut around, you know, them trying for that long. It was fast. I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing. She showed the ability to work with two people. And then what did she do? The first thing she did when they were like, we got fire, and they were all giving her praise and hyping.
I couldn't have done it without you guys.
She was like, I could have done it with those two dudes.
Yeah.
Right? I can't remember who it was, but I mean, I'm like, yo, Janet's not somebody to mess with, y'all. Like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, what I loved, she pulled the line from Liam Neeson out of Taken. Oh, she's like, I have a special set of skills, and I know how to use them.
Yeah, I mean, Janet, she's my – that's one I'm like, man, I wish she was on my Survivor fantasy team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's going to have a lot of fun moments where you're going to get a lot of cool points off of just stuff she does.
Yeah, Will got her. And
that explains his outburst the first day.
And got her late. That was his fifth out of six picks, which is interesting because I thought I had her ranked fairly high based on her being a lifeguard and the handiness of swimming in Survivor.
Yeah. But, not like one kid that showed up was a kid that showed up last season and couldn't swim.
Oh, the kid from that went to Duke University. Yeah.
Like, man, you can't swim, bro. What are you doing?
Yeah, he went, well, and then he quit. Yeah. He quit the Edge of Extinction almost immediately. Him and the Tourette's girl.
Yeah, they're like, I need some food.
I love how we remember the Tourette's girl and the guy that can't swim. We have no idea what their names are.
Keith was a black guy.
Was it Keith? Okay, yeah, that feels right.
I feel like his name is Keith, and oh my god, it'll come to me like I'm in the middle of the night. I'll pop out of my bed and be like, yeah.
Wendy. Yeah.
There it is.
You can find things pretty quick if you just Google Edge of Extinction Tourette's.
Man. Oh man, you just gotta like, can you just like, you try to use your brain maybe?
No. If there was only a device that could tell me these things. And then on this tribe, we have personal injury lawyer Jason, who's the one that disappeared almost immediately to go look for an idol. But really, I think he was out in the woods looking for wood and shelter things, but they painted it otherwise. And I loved how they were like, Jason went to go look for an idol. Did you see Jason? Jason went to go look for an idol. And
that was a touchy-feely guy that was like, where did Jason go?
Is that Tommy? No, Dan.
No, Dan.
This is always the toughest part with Survivor when the season first starts because you get such little time with each person.
Yeah.
That it takes several episodes to know who is who. But yeah, it was Dan. Speaking of Dan, reading anything into his touchy-feeliness? Is it just he's touchy-feely, or is he creepy?
Can it be both? Why does that have to be... Right. Okay.
Like, so, I kind of feel like he doesn't mean anything by it. It's just like who he is, but it doesn't come across well.
I'm just gonna say, as someone who spent time in entertainment, that he's probably the
creepy.
I mean, the guy's a talent manager, right?
Oh, that's right.
In Hollywood,
he's got the casting couch.
I don't want to infer. I don't know the guy, but he seemed a little too comfortable just touching whoever. And
he has two sons and he's been married for 20 years.
Maybe his wife likes being touched. That sounded wrong. You should cut that. Just kidding. I don't care. I don't know. It was a little weird. I don't know if that's
and
the
he cried during Finding Nemo.
That's, I don't know if that's the thing you want to do starting out, right? Just rolling in, just giving everyone back massages and shoulder rubs. And I mean, that's like, that's trying too hard too fast. That's like proposing on the first date. It's like, oh.
He has a lot of Survivor contestants he likens himself to. Because of their backgrounds, Crowley and Kwan, who I'm actually not super familiar with, despite the fact I've been watching the show forever. Westman, which I believe is Tom Westman, and Boston Rob for their social gameplay. And then Cochran, because he's freaking cool and weird. I think the weird part for sure, and definitely smart. Cool, not necessarily a word that I associate with Cochran. But anyhow, let's talk about the first immunity comp. Jeff is getting his first look at the two tribes as they are getting their first look at Jeffy P's dimpled mug. The tribes were a little mad at Jeffy P.
A little bit.
Like, hey, it's day two or maybe even day three, and we're just now seeing you. Where you been, Chief Pal? Chief Pal?
We come all the way out here not to see you, bro.
Yeah. This is your show. You're the you're the host.
Yeah.
We're the house guest. You're supposed to host us. Anyhow, the challenge, classic Survivor challenge. It's a race up and down an obstacle. They have to drop a bridge, climb a tower, solve a large puzzle. Fair enough. And teams neck and neck as they go through kind of stage one. Janet shines here too, throws a grappling hook for the Vokai tribe, and they're kind of out to an early edge in stage two, and then we see some human ladders. And I got a question here. I heard someone talking about this on another podcast, and I think this is an interesting topic. You see people show up to build human ladders or slide down big wooden slides or over wooden walls, and they don't wear shirts, presumably because they didn't bring one with them to the competition. Wouldn't you just kind of always want to bring a shirt with you just in case you needed to wear one at the competition?
I mean, you would think.
Like, hey, maybe I might have someone standing on my shoulders today.
Or sliding
down wood.
Can we talk about the way they were choosing to slide down this wood?
Oh.
There were a lot of people that were diving head first and just skidding. People using their backs and not their bottoms. I'm like, people are using the only part on their body that's not covered.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like let me see how much skin I can rip off going down this slide. Just a thought. I don't know. Always bring your shoes. Always bring a shirt. You may not need either one because it may be time to swim.
There was a dude on there with some really fancy Jordans on there. They're like baby blue and white. I want to say they were like the.
I did notice the very clean. Either Jack. I think they're Jack Purcell's. I don't think they were Chuck Taylor's. That I think maybe Ronnie was wearing because they zoomed in on him. Out like he was standing very close to the water. It's like those shoes aren't going to stay clean for very long, nor is your yellow hoodie. But maybe they are because he went home. But anyhow, in the puzzle, Vokai crushed it. Jamal, like I was hossing public puzzle pieces.
He basically won that for them.
Oh yeah,
he was the bottom of the human ladder. He did all the heavy lifting on the puzzles.
Well, and also on that tribe though, the ginger guy, was the guy that had gotten like halfway up the wall, held the rope, and then people would run up and he would grab them and then pull them up to the rope. His name was Jack. That was impressive.
Yes.
That's contributing to your team, most definitely.
Oh yeah.
On Jeffy P.
Finally shows up.
Called this one of the biggest blowouts ever in the first challenge of the season. And I mean, it may be one of the biggest blowouts just in general, not just the first challenge of the season.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, they got annihilated.
Yeah,
they got destroyed, like soul crushingly, morale defeating, just got it handed to them. And it's like the thing about it is like they were losing, then they were losing bad, and then magically out of nowhere they got everyone up to the top of the thing like nobody's business, like really fast, and they were like, oh, we got this. Like, they recovered, and you thought that they were going to, like, be there, and then the next thing you know, it was like...
Next thing you know, they couldn't put together two puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
Much less 15 of them.
Yeah. Was it? Because it was four pieces per, and there were six of them? Yeah.
Yeah.
They did
maybe a few more than 15, but yeah.
Yeah, they did two.
Yeah. The losing team, Lero, they had to draw someone to go to the Island of Idols. Did I say that right?
Island of Idols?
Island of the Idols, I think. Gosh, how do I not know the name of the season?
Island of the Idols. Island of Idols.
I
don't think there's any of the...
Island of the Idols. I had it right. It is okay. The Island of the Idols. Shouldn't have second-guessed myself. But anyhow... I like this, that they had a draw and didn't put the weird onus on the team on day one to have to pick someone to go.
Yeah, the draw, I mean, it makes it more random, makes it more in line with, like, you know, the risk and the chance of, you know, it could just be you. And the thing is, who they landed on when they pulled, that's a lot of people's pick to win it.
Yeah, I mean...
And she ends up on the, you know... And she's the first guinea pig that ends up on Island of Idols, which no one knows what that means.
Yeah, and she's going to be one. It's Elizabeth Beisel, but she's going to be one that has to like really try in a way that I feel like I would have to like try to not be as competitive. Like I can't try to compete so hard.
Oh yeah.
I mean, anybody that's made it to three Olympics games have a certain level of competitive drive inside.
And she's like, I'm going to do this fire. And everyone, I'm just sitting there going like, girl, are you crazy?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Island of the Idols. She gets to the island. It's this beautiful place. She has no idea what she's doing. She's walking in. She comes upon these statues of Boston Rob and Sandra. And then out walk.
Great statues. Those things were amazing.
Yeah. And then out walk Rob and Sandra. Do you know Boston Rob's first season on the show is season 4?
Jesus.
We're in season 39.
Wow.
What a span for him. And they're both confirmed for season 40.
What do they do for a living that they can just... I guess they've already won Survivor, so...
Well, she's won $1 million twice.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know...
And maybe picked up a few checks here or there along the way of doing other things. I don't know. She drives me nuts. I like Rob. Sandra drives me nuts. Anyhow, everything that happens on the island there is intended to help players succeed in the game. And Rob's there to show her how to make fire. And he builds a fire, Kenneth, in just a matter of moments.
It's like he snapped his fingers and was like, here's fire.
It's like I made a sandwich.
I can't make a sandwich that fast.
Yeah, I don't know if I can either. It was impressive. I mean, and I don't think it was a production trick either. I feel like it was a clean one shot.
Yeah, that was a one take Jake right there. He knew exactly what he was doing and wasted no time doing it. He's so calm about it, so nonchalant. It's like, I made millions of fires.
You don't want to go against that guy in the Final Four.
Yeah, not even remotely.
And Sandra takes Elizabeth back to the back of the house and teaches her how to make fire. And then she's faced with this opportunity to square off with Rob in a fire-making challenge. Win and get an idol. That's good for the next two tribals. Or lose and lose your vote tonight. What were you thinking when this offer was made?
Didn't you just see him make that fire in like 1 second? You are learning how to make fire, which seems like for the first time. This is not your thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she didn't just go learn how to make fire and it all came about in like 10 minutes. It probably came about in like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. She could have been gone for a while. And let me tell you, like, you thought you were going to be him? Yeah. That was a bad play. Yeah. Especially because, okay, so they say, okay, make a fire. And if you win a fire, you just think of, oh, I'm going to get an idol for two times, right? And it's like, oh, okay. What does it matter now to have an idol?
But
it matters to have a vote.
Did it really matter to have a vote, though? Wasn't it worth the risk?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think you would have had the presence of mind to say no, or do you have a better offer like Rob insinuated he might have?
No.
Yeah, I wonder if she had just said no, if he would have been like, well, what if?
Yeah, you know, I think that might have came into play, and maybe we'll see that happen to someone else. But I don't think that, you know, Elizabeth or anyone, it's the first time has the wherewithal to be like, well, what else is there?
But to my point earlier, she's a competitor. She can't say no.
Yeah. She had no. The thing is, like, she walked out.
I can do this.
She's grinning from ear to ear the whole time.
She's like, right? I'm a freaking Olympian. I could beat you.
And the whole time, she was probably, you know, she's probably looking at the 1% chance of winning. And she's like, how great would it be if I win this one thing? Right? Something that she probably realized she's not going to win. But, like, if I can pull this off.
Yeah, and like, I think it's actually not a terrible decision at this stage in the game.
It's not the worst, but I mean,
like, if this happens in 4 weeks, yeah, that's a bad decision.
Yeah. But what if someone, like, my whole thing is, like, what if, say, they needed her vote to keep someone.
To keep Elaine.
Yeah. Like, what if they needed her vote?
And then
it's like,
do you think they show the paper that if it came to needing that vote, they would show the I'd never seen someone write no vote on a piece of paper before. Usually it's just there's not a piece of paper for that person.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that could have potentially like come back to haunt her had they had to show that, right? Yeah. They're going to know who the no vote is. And for someone who, you know, I was reading something about her earlier. She's like, I'm not going to tell them that I'm Olympian. And then the minute someone's like, you're an Olympian. She's like, yeah, I'm Olympian.
Like, did they recognize her? I was like, that was so weird. She's like, yeah, I swim. Are you an Olympian? Yeah, of course I am.
Absolutely, 100%.
I am curious. Every Olympian I've ever known has the Olympic rings tattooed on their body somewhere. So maybe that was a dead giveaway.
Okay, maybe.
I didn't see it, but I'm just maybe.
Maybe. That might have been it.
So that would be kind of hard to hide.
Yeah.
No, just love the Olympics.
It'd
be like me. I'd be like, it's like my favorite sporting event. Give me the rings.
I feel like that's a tattoo. There's only one guy that's like licensed to give an Olympic tattoo. And you can't like.
He's in the Olympic Village every 4 years, and like you can only get it from him.
Yeah, if they find out that someone has an illegal Olympic tattoo, they come and they like, you know, they come and they're, okay, you're gonna have to get that removed.
Sorry, you were only on the Pan Am team. Yeah. You weren't on the Olympic team.
You were on the Olympic team, so we're gonna need you to remove that, please.
Yeah. So Rob absolutely annihilates her in the fire. He tells her, in the future, trust your gut. You should not have tried to play me in this game. And she gets to choose who the next person's going to be there from the other tribe that, that goes to Island of the Idols. Let's talk about Rob and Sandra and how we think. What other types of things do you think people are going to go there and learn from them?
I mean, you'll get the basics. How to make fire. I mean, what are the basic things you got to do on Survivor?
Exactly. I don't know.
Who knows?
Like, we did see them go, they sneak into the back door of Tribal, sit there and watch. I'm wondering if there's going to be like, hey, like, so-and-so seems like a strong player. You, maybe you should be targeting them. Like, they're there watching Tribal Council. I don't know if there's going to be that type of thing. I assume maybe another person or two could learn how to make fire. I don't know. Maybe it's trivia or I don't even know. Maybe it's less teaching and more giving them opportunities. Like Elizabeth came back and lied and said she had been given the urns game where you break an urn and you get to play a game or not, which will be interesting when someone else from her tribe goes and knows that it's not a thing. And will they A, rat her out, or B, say the same thing and come back and bond with her?
I think that's probably more likely.
Yeah.
Because then it's like we're the only ones that have experienced it.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of takes out there right now on Sandra and Rob.
Specifically,
Do you think that mentoring is all there is to their game for this season?
Yeah.
I agree. There's a lot of people out there that are absolutely convinced that they're going to enter the game at some point.
No. I would say I'd be more likely if they weren't confirmed for 40.
Yeah.
But it's just a new twist. I'm sure they'll have some hand in something in terms of a vote out they'll have their hand in something, but they're not going to go out there and have a chance to win.
Yeah. Or maybe part of a comp ends up being like, can you beat them at this?
Yeah. They're not going to be the ones trying to be the sole survivor at the end of this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious if they're living out there on that island or if they're being brought back and forth, which all of these things play into. Are they potentially, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to come back in the game, but if they were, they would need to be living on that island. It makes sense that that's why they're getting to go to Tribal.
Yeah.
So they can hear what's going on. But they would also be getting to hear both tribals, which is super advantageous.
That's an unfair advantage. I think people hope, and I think it's one of those things where people are overthinking it, right? It's like, oh, this is what's going to happen. Why would they bring them? It's like, it's just a twist. It's an additional couple hosts that everyone, you know, they're two popular players have won a bunch. It's just a unique way to present the show. But it doesn't make a whole. I mean, they would murder these people if it was like they're gonna get them back in. Especially, for anyone who thinks they're gonna go back in the game, what advantage do they really need for two winners of the show already?
Yeah,
to go back in with a bunch of people who have no clue what Survivor's like from day one to day 39. What type of unfair advantage is that?
Well, and they've explicitly said on the Island of Idols that what the rules are and that they are there only to do something. And I feel like since that's written on a wall, that rule probably won't be canceled out. It's going to be interesting how they come into play, what role they play in affecting the game. You've been to Tribal Council before. What are they like? I'm watching them kind of whisper to each other at Tribal Council. Like, is there enough stuff going on at Tribal Council that there's no chance that somebody's going to hear them up in the little treehouse whispering, or even if like one of them starts sneezing or
I mean,
I mean, there are enough people hanging around in the wings at Tribal Council that could have been anybody whispering or anybody sneezing.
It could have been, but the thing is like, if you're at Tribal Council and like as a producer of Tribal Council, the camera guys are there.
Yeah.
There. Everyone else is in some other place watching it happen. They're not far away, but they're not close enough to.
Okay. So it's realistic that somehow some slip could happen and they'd be like, oh, what? There's people sitting up in that box up there.
Yeah. Possibly.
Okay. Cool. I'm just being a conspiracy theorist here.
Yeah. I mean, pile right on. Sandra and Robert can come in and win. Prize is now $10 million. it's like, have a ball.
They're actually going to. The reason Jeff wasn't on the boat is because Sandra and Rob are actually going to end up hosting the show this season.
Yeah. And Jeff's actually going to enter the game and become a contestant.
Yes.
He gets to enter on day 37. he automatically gets 3 votes for Soul Survivor. He only needs 4 to win it all.
So. And then he rides off into the sunset. We never see him again.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Laro. After they've lost, Elaine, Tom, Chelsea, and Vince. So Chelsea is kind of glomped on with that group. Are talking about voting out Ronnie, and we don't really hear anything else about voting out Ronnie. It's just like kind of there's a conversation there. They think they have a group of 6. However, Vince is like, "Hey, I think I'm on the chopping block. I screwed up the puzzle." You kind of all screwed it up, but okay, if you want to say you did. Then you have Ronnie, Karishma, and Aaron are all talking to Dean and Vince about targeting Elaine. So now Vince is involved in conversations on both sides. And of course, Vince takes that immediately back to Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth returns. And then I thought the Elaine piece there at camp was interesting. Where historically you would see a lot of people be like, well, I'm just going to go talk to some other people because I heard that my name's on the block. I'm going to go try to like make sure I'm not. Instead, it's just like, hey, guys, I heard you were talking about wanting to vote for me. I'd really like to stay here and blah, blah, blah. Like, what do I need to do to stay here? Like, just confronts it head on, like super I don't know what the right word is for it, but like, a perfect approach, which I thought was really nice to have.
Yeah, it was refreshing that she just went straight to the source. Now, I mean, the problem with that is she could have put someone else on chopping block. It's like, how do you know? Who told you? And it's not hard to kind of connect the dots on where she got that info from.
Oh, Vinnie Pooh.
But, you know, that's her play. That's the play she's going to go make. And it turned out to be a good one.
Yeah. And that's when Aaron tells her, hey, you're being targeted because you're so nice and everyone likes you. I was like, okay, that's usually don't hear that on week one. That's when you have no other reason. But yeah, you're so nice. We don't want you to be around us. We don't want it to rub off on us because we're awful.
We're all here to slit throats.
Yeah. Tom's there. He's reassuring her. Aaron looks her dead in the eye and is like, hey, it's going to be Vince. Oh, you think so, Aaron. We go to Tribal. Incognito, Rob and Sandra, as we mentioned. Elaine is in tears there at Tribal, which got her some fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is in everyone's mouth. A lot of conversation about her. Ronnie tells us his life story, every job that he's ever held, including dealing in crypto a little and, you know, trying to kickbox a couple times in Thailand, worked at Sears, Walmart, McDonald's, I think, wherever else. No idea why we needed to hear any of that, but we didn't hear any conversation about voting Ronnie out.
Not.
None.
Zero.
And then the votes come down. 2 for Vince. A no vote for Elizabeth. And 6 for Ron. Just like out of nowhere. This is a weird Survivor edit. That, like, you usually get, they'll paint you down a couple of paths. They painted us down one path, and that person didn't get any votes, and they spent all the time on them at tribal council.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
It's weird. And the thing is like, they probably know when they're ready to edit it that Ronnie's going, or they have an idea. They don't know for sure because, you know, it's a wild card when they go in there and change and these things happen. But, I mean, they had to have an idea that it was him, but the cast did a really good job of keeping that under the wraps. But there's probably not a lot of footage of them talking about it, which is probably what sold The Blind Side to begin with.
Yeah. There had to have been something, but...
Yeah. Probably so minute that they couldn't build anything around it.
Yeah.
You can't really tell a story. I think they set it up that he was going to go home. As you know, the first he has an encounter with Elaine in the water. And
she's like, I don't trust him at all.
Yes. When she outreads the poker player. because he's just like, I mean, he was so lame with it.
Sleazy used car salesman.
Yeah, it's like you're not fooling anyone that you're not targeting her or that she's in your crosshairs.
Yeah.
Is it that maybe he's one of those guys that has to play with a hat and glasses?
to go get his Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity.
Yeah, like to sell that he's, you know. But, I mean, it was so obvious that he was talking to someone he wanted to vote out and that he had an agenda for why he want, you know, he was trying to get rid of her, and you know, well, another one bites the dust. Yeah. Ronnie,
six votes. It was Big Tom, Vince, Missy, Chelsea, Dean, Elaine, and Karishma. Who Karishma had seemed to be with Aaron and Ronnie and everything we had kind of seen, and then Elizabeth with a no vote. But 6-2 probably would have been 7-2 had she had a vote. A total blind side. Aaron, you're up next. I mean, you're on an island, literally, and now figuratively, Aaron is on an island because he didn't go home, but he was blindsided as well.
Yeah.
And Ronnie, because, Ronnie seriously went wrong somewhere.
Yeah, and because Aaron's sitting there going like, dang, I put my eggs in that dude's basket, and I had no idea that everyone wanted him gone.
Yeah, he's going to have to go do some damage control and be like, hey, guys, why didn't y'all tell me that you didn't like him? I didn't like him either.
Calm down. Gosh, it would have been.
Vince's going to be like, then how come you guys both voted for me? Anyhow, at the end of episode one, Any favorites? Well, maybe favorites or not favorites? MVPs? LVPs? How you feeling?
Okay. About the cast in general? Yeah? Or who?
Yeah, just in general.
Just in general. Okay, so I think that, what's her name? The chick that had the Nura, she's going to have some Angelina-type qualities where I'm going to hate her, but she's going to be great television.
In the scenes from, she's flipping out, and I'm looking at the cast right now, and I just want to correct something from earlier. I kept referring to the redheaded guy as Jack. The redhead guy is actually Tommy.
It's Tommy.
Should correct me.
Come on, redhead, Tommy,
Ginger Tommy.
Yeah, Ginger Tommy. Come on. I was trying to give you some grace and figured, hey, it's new. If you would have done this in episode two of the pod, the second time I came on here and you didn't have their names right.
Just straight elbow. Like,
yo, bro, what's going on? But this the first one.
So you're thinking Nora's going to add something to this game?
Nora's going to be kind of crazy for a little bit, and she's going to go out in a blaze of glory, I assume. I think pay attention to the old folks. Janet and Tom are going to go really far. I think Jamal will go far. I like,
The Dan guy, potentially creepy Dan, not calling him creepy. He's an older guy as well.
Yeah, I'm not buying him though. I think he will wear out his, okay. There's strong women on this cast. Once it merges and I don't think Dan can, stop his proclivities for being touchy. And I think that the women will be like, yeah, he's got to go. Missy, I'm looking forward to how Missy's game plays out. I think she's got a great story. I think that people are going to really like her, and she's going to fly under the radar at the beginning, and then when it gets go time, she's going to be someone that everyone's going to be excited about, and she'll probably start being on the chopping block. I'm excited for Vince. Vince is sneaky good. Vince might put himself in a position now where he had a little bit of a target on his back. I think that he's his work ethic, and once it starts getting into the longer tooth days, if you will, where you're kind of in it and the stuff becomes more mental, I think that Stanford education will do him well.
Anybody you're not in on at this point, other than Ronnie?
I mean, obviously Ronnie's out.
There's a handful of them we didn't learn anything about.
Yeah, there's like Karishma, and there's a few that you just
Molly.
Like,
do you remember Molly at all?
Yeah, they were just like kind of there.
Lauren wasn't really involved either.
Bad thing at the first episode. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world if you're not the one they're talking about, or if we're not aware of. If it's like episode 2, 3, if we're like 3, 4-ish. Where it's like, oh, this person's just a goat and they're probably going to get taken along. That's another thing. But
Lauren's actually a podcast host over on the AfterBuzz TV network. I learned that earlier today.
Okay.
So maybe she'll be on talking Inside Story. I'm with you. I like the older crew. I like Tom and Janet. Elizabeth was my top pick in Fantasy for Reality, so I guess I'll ride with her. And I'm curious about a couple others. I think Elaine's easily likable after the first episode, but I'm sure some others will rise. I don't know if there's anybody I don't like, but there's plenty that, as I mentioned, that we don't know anything about. Even like Kelly wasn't really involved in the first show much. It really revolved around like 6 or 7 people total out of the 20 that were there.
Yeah, for the most part.
So a lot more story to build.
There's a lot of story to build. I think there's some twists on the horizon that we're not aware of. I love the Sandra and Boss and Rob dynamic starting out. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And what ways they're, you know, put into the game, if you will. I don't think they're going to join the game, but who knows? You'll see.
I don't think they're going to join the game. It'd be interesting to see if it at some point pre-merge they like sent them to live at the camps individually.
Yeah.
But I think that would be, they merged pretty quick, so I think that would be probably too early in the game to give away the mystery of Island of the Idols.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts before we take a look at the Fantasy for Reality scores?
No, I think I covered it all. I'm sure there's something I'll be wishing that I said after we stop this recording.
Hey,
but
hey, it's only the first episode. There's plenty more of these podcasts to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll take that bus. We'll get there.
Fantasy for Reality. That's fantasy the numeral for reality.com. Great website. We are partnered up with our buddy Matt Gray over there now. I am helping him as an official scorer, particularly here on Survivor and The Challenge, which are the two active games. So go sign up, play with your friends, play with your coworkers. It's fun to do. Kenneth, Will, and I are in a Survivor league. As I mentioned earlier, I had taken Elizabeth Beisel earlier. Actually, Will took the aforementioned Aaron number one overall in the draft, which might not pan out so well. A really good week for you and for Will, more so for Will, but much less so for me.
Why don't you go up there and tell those scores real quick? Why don't we let's just start with, what did Will get?
Will put up 310 points for the week.
That's a solid outing for, you know, first person.
Five of his six players were on the winning team in the competition.
Okay, so they got the bonus and the 50 and the 10.
Your team put up 210 points, and three of your six players were on the winning team in the competition.
Okay. And what did you get, Spencer?
I got 70 points.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had one person, Jason, the idol seeker, was the only one to be on the winning team in the competition. And then two people, Ronnie and Elizabeth, put up negative points.
Yeah.
Great start to the season, guys.
Yeah. Well, this is how the beginning of your comeback starts.
I mean, it's partially my fault. I instated a rule that if you lose at the Island of Idols, it's negative 20 points. And my player lost over there, so I ended up with negative 10 points for my Olympian.
You know, I mean, you can only go up from here, Spencer.
Yeah. So, anyhow, go check it out. Go play some games. We're early in the season challenge, 4 or 5 episodes in. First episode of Survivor. It's good stuff, and there is plenty ahead of us here. We have, as I mentioned, going to work on some bonus content here in the next few days. But right now, Podcast Network, we're zeroed in on the challenge and Survivor. There's also a couple of other shows out there on Bravo. Temptation Island comes back for, we'll call it season 2, but really I guess it's technically season 4 that spans 20 years. That comes back here in just a couple of weeks on USA. Kenneth, I highly recommend it.
Really?
It's good TV. The first season was very entertaining. So if I'm picking out a show for you, that might be the one.
When is it on?
I believe it starts in the next couple of weeks on the USA Network. Let's see here. Premiere date is October 10th, so 14 days away. On Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, which is podcast time. But anyhow, anything else before we get out of here?
No, man, I'm excited for season 39, especially because, you know, we're coming up on season 40.
I'm excited for season 39 because it puts us closer to season 40.
Yeah. I'll be like a kid on Christmas when season 40 comes out.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I don't know if the full cast of that is out there. It's probably worth going and take a look. But before we get out of here, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Also, reminder to subscribe wherever you download your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, or Stitcher. And check out our website, afterrealitypodcast.com. Kenny, anywhere we can find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kenny is my homeboy, KENEISHOMEBOY. Kenny is my homeboy.
Kenny is my homeboy, but Kenny is KENE.
Yeah, that's phonetically spelled. Someone already had Kenny as my homeboy. Yeah.
You can find me on the Twitter at Spencer Kitley, all one word. Until we chat again, the tribe has spoken.